So, hey, I wanted to dive in into something. I know next week is Palm Sunday, and we have Good Friday, and then we have Easter. And those are kind of set messages and services that we lock into. The only one other than those three is one other strong emphasized Sunday, and that would be Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas, that is like, no, we need to speak about Jesus and being born. While this is the same scenario here, on Palm Sunday, you speak about the story of what happened, and you also speak on Good Friday, the death of Christ on the cross, and then you speak on Sunday morning, the resurrection of him coming alive and him being with us. And, I had a, when I pastored in Durango, Colorado, this is way back in 1990, I had a lady come to me. And she said, she goes, "Well, Pastor, we've been the longest attending members of the church forever. And our 50th anniversary is coming up. And we would like, if we could, have the Sunday service so we could, have our family coming from all over to come and be a part of what we're doing." I said, "Sister, that would be an awesome thing. That would be a great thing. Let's make an emphasis and have your grandkids or whoever want to sing a song special, if they want to say a few words." And she says, No, we want to have the service." And I said, "Well, that's the Sunday before Christmas, and we emphasize Christ on that day." And she goes, "I know, but it's my 50th anniversary, and we would like forever my family to come and do the whole service." And pretty much it was like a praise me moment, a praise us for her and her husband. And I was really taken back by that because I'd never heard anyone have that kind of gall, that kind of concept of like, no, we understand it's Christmas, but it's about us. It's only our once in a lifetime 50th year anniversary. And I said, I said, "There's only so many days out of the year. All the other Sundays, we could talk about whatever. We could be topical in our messages. We could have a sermon series. We can go however the Spirit leads. But there's certain Sundays that are where we need to stay on track. As a Christian, we need to." I go, "And Christmas is one of those." Well, I just mentioned, of course, Easter, Good Friday, and Palm Sunday obviously are those as well. Well, she got so upset with me. Again, this is 1990, and I'm just my first pastorate. I'm 25 years old. And I'm doing my best to try to be a to be a good pastor and so on. And so I said, "Look, I had to pray. I said, 'God, what do I do? Do I give in to this patriotic family, that patriarch type family within our church, the ones that have been there forever, or do I honor you?'" And of course, my decision was I'm going to honor God, and made that decision. And sure enough, they left the church. Got so upset. I found out that that Sunday night, or that Sunday, they ended up renting the chapel at the local college, and Fort Lewis College in Durango, and they had their own service, and it was all about grandma and grandpa and their 50th anniversary. And they at that point was a good crowd of our church, and of course, dwindled. But I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel like I had to apologize for standing to share about God. To show, hey, this is why we're coming. I know we celebrate and we'll honor and we'll always give praise reports and give opportunity to, but when we gather in His name, it's to gather for the sake of Him and to gather for His story and to gather for what He's doing. It's a beautiful thing to know that this next week or so we call Holy Week, from Palm Sunday through Easter, all over the world, everyone's speaking of him. Everyone's talking his story. Everyone's going to be sharing about who God is, who Christ is, why he came, what he did. And a beautiful part of that also is to celebrate that he rose again that Sunday morning. People have asked many times, why do Christians celebrate Sunday morning? Well, it's because we, as Christians, acknowledge that it was Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and the first hours of that day that he rose. And so we say we're going to dedicate our week to God by giving him first, the first hours of the first week. We're going to give him everything. This is why we as Christians celebrate on Sunday and not Saturday. You would think, well, we should on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. That is the end. On the seventh day, the Lord rested. That would be Saturday. But we as Christians say we're ones that we want to give him first. Everything we have, we give first. Everything we think about, we got to think of him first. Everything's about him first. When you wake up first thing in the morning, it should be, God, I'm thinking of you first, and not look to your phone. What's on Facebook? You know, looking to turning the TV on or looking to go jump in the ship. It should be just a quick moment, even if it is the briefest moment of, God, I give to you first. We got to stay focused. To stay focused is a challenge, because so many times there's distractions, there's things that come our way, that things that try to throw us off track. The enemy's going to be wise to do what he can to try to get us to think of other things and not stay focused on what God is doing. We're going to stay focused. We're going to have special services, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. You know, I think about last week what happened with your car and how crazy it is that, again, the first car right here, you know, during most of the worship, I actually stayed out there to try to do my part, to just kind of just keep a watchman, you know, and watch around, because to think that the closest car to the door, someone breaks into, and literally, it wasn't just a simple, you know, popping the lock, but breaking the glass and removing your bag, it surprises to me. But at the same time, the enemy's a liar, and he's going to do what he can to get us off track, because like you said, it's to a point for the last couple of days, it's been on edge, especially the feeling you had when you were here the other day. Boy, if we could do what we can to stay focused, the Lord is with us. Greater is he that's with me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That we don't have to fear, but have faith to believe that God is with us and God's in control. And so when we start sharing about things of how we can be overcomers, how we can have victory, how we can pursue what God wants to do in our lives, there is someone clearly that doesn't like that. That is the enemy. Do we fear that? No. Someone says, hey, Alfred, where do you want your name to be known? I said, only in two places. One, in heaven, because I want my name written in the book. And two, in hell, because I want, when hell knows my name, then they'll know, oh, there's Alfred again. He's messing around again. He started talking about Jesus again. He's trying to do his thing. And every time, even remember last week, I shared the story, a pretty in-depth story about my grandmother. I shared some crazy stuff about my grandmother and how the enemy played with her mind. You know, I didn't end that part. People ask me many times, so whatever happened with your grandmother? Whatever happened with that whole scenario of the witchcraft and all the stuff that took place in your family? But my grandmother literally dedicated herself to do harm to my mom through witchcraft, literally lost her mind. She paid a price. She dedicated herself to take my mom, and my grandmother literally lost her life out on the street. Became crazy. A crazy woman walking the streets. And I think about that. I think about, man, if someone could have reached her. Remember I mentioned to you that my neighbors that lived next door to me my entire life growing up were Christians? If they would have just reached out to us, things could have been so different if someone would have just made an effort to reach out, to go, and to help people that are dealing with some pretty intense stuff. I know it's hard to think about wanting to go reach people that have hurt us, to go and reach people that have come against us, to think about the idea of how do we reach them, but when we realize they don't know God. If they could know God, would they do that? Maybe we could also then start praying, as much as we want to, you know, strangle that lady that did that to your car, but okay, God, she obviously doesn't know the Lord. Okay, we need to pray as we can. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But stay focused on our call, our walk, who God is in our lives, and what he's doing for us. I want to pray. God, I thank you, Lord, so much for just everything that you've done Lord, in our lives. And I know, God, that the hour change affects so many across this valley. But I pray for all of our churches, Lord, that you would just bring a fresh spirit of revival, Lord, to every one of our churches from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that, God, you would move. And here too, Lord, that, God, we will see breakthroughs in so many different settings. That, God, we would be used in so many ways to be able to do what you've called us to do, to stay focused. Lord, to know that these coming Sundays, Lord, these coming Friday, Lord, these are big, special moments for us to do ministry and outreach, Lord, and telling your story. That we stay focused, God, on what you've called us to do. And yet the enemy's going to be upset. The enemy's going to do whatever he wants to do. But, God, we cannot let him take our eye off of you. Help us, God, to stay focused. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This coming Thursday is mentioned for the ladies' gathering on St. Patrick's Day. And I did want to mention to you a little bit about St. Patrick. But before we go there, I want to start with this. In the book of John, going back, remember we were studying John for some time back in the fall. And as we pursued, I think I last left off around chapter 12 or somewhere in that area. But I want to share a portion here about Jesus right after. This is actually after Palm Sunday. After that Sunday, that gathering, that particular gathering. I know next week and so on, it's going to be emphasized more. But I want to really hit on one particular question that was brought up. Okay, and this is John chapter 12, verse 20. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival." Again, they had already put palm branches and so on before. And they came up to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. And they said, "Sir," these are the Greeks that are asking. And they said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip then told Jesus. And this is how he responded. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So let me emphasize verse 27 again. It says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." That's kind of the area that I wanted to target it. He says, "I'm having problems right now." He goes, "I'm troubled inside." There is a battle that he's referring to inside himself as well. We see the outcome of that even when after the Last Supper and the foot washing and all that moment here as you read on through John. But when he gets into the Garden of Gethsemane and he's there and he says, again, that trouble is in him. And he says, "Lord, please take this from me. Take this cup from me." But then immediately remembers and says, "No, not my will, but your will be done." As he's starting to emphasize this, he's beginning to now acknowledge out loud what's going on inside his spirit. Have you ever had that scenario with somebody where you've actually asked them, "Hey, how you doing?" And they said, "I'm doing fine." And then you look at them and you go, "No, really, how you doing? Okay, let me tell you." And then they start just going for it. Because there's always this internal battle that's going on in each one of us until we're ready to just start letting people know what's actually happening. But the battle starts from inside. It starts in our mind. It starts in our heart. It's dealing within our spirit. There's something going on. We're inside us. Every one of us deal with this in every way. Jesus dealt with the same thing. He knew that his hour was coming. He knew that his time was coming. And he started, for the first time, now starts proclaiming and saying, look, and he gave this example. If a seed just goes to the ground and it just stays there and it doesn't die, if the seed doesn't die, it remains a seed. But if the seed dies, then it produces more. What does it produce? Another seed? No, obviously we understand that. As far as agriculture, you plant that seed, the next thing you know, you're going to get a harvest. You're going to get a bushel. You're going to get a tree. You're going to get whatever you're going to get. But that key concept, die, this is what Jesus was struggling with. He says, I have to die. But notice what other scripture part of it says here too. He says that anyone who loves their life will lose it. This is verse 25. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's another battle that we have as well, because in one sense, we're always trying to have a better life here on earth. We're trying to have a better way of doing things. We're wanting to have a good life. We're wanting to have a happy life, the pursuit of happiness, right? We're wanting to have all these things. And if you read the scripture here, it says anyone who loves their life, right? If you love your life here on earth, let me try to help explain this and understand it here even for myself. The concept is this. Without God in my life, trying to have and hold on to my life, he says, you're going to lose eternal life. But if you let God be in control of our life, if you allow God to be the one who's in control of our life, he said, you'll find yourself that you will not only love God who gives you life, but you're going to enjoy your life as well. But you're allowing him to be, let's say, the captain of your ship versus you being the one that's going to steer your life in your direction of what you're going to do. So here he's not saying that we have to go around hating our life and hating ourselves. Much more, he's referring to the idea of not being able to say, God, I surrender and I give my life to you. Therefore, you are the one in control of my life. If you're in control of my life, Lord, I know I can delight myself in you. I can go and I could seek you first. I can do everything that I want to do first in you. And I know, God, that you're going to be there for me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You'll never turn your back on me. And like we say in the neighborhood, you'll never stab me in the back. God, you're going to be there for me. But without God, say, no, I want my own life. I want to be in control of my own life. I want to do my own thing. Well, what does that mean? You'll have your life here on earth, but you won't have it in eternity. I know God wants to not only bless us with an eternal life, but an abundant life here. As long as we're under his covering. As long as we're under... Remember when Jesus was tempted by the enemy? Jesus was tempted by the enemy. And immediately, what was Jesus... The Bible says that he fasted 40 days. And after the 40 days, he was hungry. And when he was hungry, who showed up immediately? But Satan showed up and he says, why don't you turn these stones? He had some stones. Let's say he had a platter. And he says, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And had this dialogue with the Lord. Well, the Lord didn't listen to him. The Lord didn't do anything in reference to acknowledging him as far as the idea of doing that. But was he hungry? Absolutely. Would it have been wrong for him to eat? No. What would have been wrong is whose plate is he eating from? After three different types of temptation, Jesus rejected the ways of the enemy. The Bible says the enemy left and immediately the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. What does that mean? But they came and brought him the nourishment that he needed. God's never late. God shows up when he shows up. Remember we talked about one time, as long as I stay faithful and watch for his timing, God is going to show up and bring favor to you. It's hard to stay faithful because our internal struggle, the same thing Jesus battled, this internal struggle, we fight against it. We don't it's a trouble. Even Jesus says, I have this trouble in me right now. What am I going to do? Basically what he's saying. And in himself, he answers his own question. He knows what the answer is. How many of us know what the answer is, but we choose to do not the right thing? Right? We're all knowing what time what to do is right, but we end up doing the wrong thing. What does it mean that you have to die? You have to die to your will. You have to die to your cause. One of the reasons when I look at things like St. Patrick's Day, it isn't just the idea of, you know, trying to bring out the Irish in me, which there isn't. But, you know, but the, I mean, in my wife's side, there is. Her great-grandfather was Irish. And so, you know, my kids are Irish, and so, you know, they go green, you know. And so, you know, but in that, all over the world, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated. Is it because we have Irish all over the world? No, it's because it's a holiday like Valentine's Day, like also Christmas. Everybody celebrates it in one manner or another. But what is the truth about this St. Patrick? I wanted to read to you. I just, you know, looked it up here, and I wanted to just read just a little bit to you. And to think that this person that we celebrate, this person, or many people have no idea what it was all about. It says here, history records that St. Patrick, at the age of 16, was captured by a Celtic raiders and spent several years as a slave in Ireland. It was during the time that he learned that various rituals, customs, and languages of the Celtic Druids. It was these people that he eventually converted to Catholicism. He apparently had a dream in which God spoke to him, saying, "Your ship is ready." And St. Patrick was then able to escape by ship back to Britain. Shortly thereafter, he experienced another dream in which he received a letter which claimed to be a voice of the Irish. When he opened it, he heard the voices of all those who he had met in Ireland begging for him to return. St. Patrick then began a course of study to become an ordained a bishop in the Catholic Church and returned to Ireland to establish the church. Though the task was difficult and dangerous, he persisted and was able to build a strong foundation of Christianity. The Irish people were receptive to his teaching, especially in the light of the fact that he was able to take several of their Celtic symbols and Christianize them. The most prominent of these is a green shamrock, a certain type of clover. He used this plant, which he was held sacred by the Druids, as a symbol of the Trinity. Additionally, St. Patrick was instrumental in bringing just different cultures and different things to him. So I wanted to emphasize to you here in sharing this that, let me go on just another part. It says, the man eventually canonized as St. Patrick by the Catholic Church was born to a wealthy family in AD 387, Kilpatrick of Scotland. His real name was Maewyn Suckett. It was his extensive missionary work in Ireland, which he was famous during the 30 years of work there. He supposedly converted over 135,000 people, established 300 churches, and consecrated 350 bishops. And he died on March 17, 461. So, let me talk about this. This is this guy that's known all over the world. Was it because of his green shamrock shakes, or because of his, you know, idea of love for leprechauns or anything like that whatsoever? No, because think about it. How many times have you heard of an individual going into a country and converting an entire country? I mean, other than, again, we talked about it, other than the idea of possibly Jonah going into the city of Nineveh and God calling him, and next thing you know, the whole city repented and gave their life to. But the reason that, okay, think about this. This guy was a young kid, and he gets captured by Druid Celtics. Now, if you know anything about the Druids, you'll understand that they were evil, horrible people, and they sacrificed people. Okay, the whole scenario of Halloween comes from the birth of the Druids and so on, and how they would sacrifice, and they would want the kids, and they would sacrifice children. And so he gets captured. And all that time that he was there as a slave, these people brutally, I mean, there's more depth to his story. They brutally treated him horrible. And there was a moment when that dream that he had, your ship has come in, there was a moment that he was able to escape from Ireland and went back to Britain. And now as a young man back in Britain, he was able to pursue a normal life. He was able to have what we would call then a good life. He was not a slave anymore. He was not in a dungeon anymore. He wasn't treating it. While he was over here, he learned the Celtic ways. He learned the Druid language. He learned all their different things. But he had a moment to escape this hell that he was in, and he went back, and he had the good life. And while he was there, he went into seminary. He went to college. And there God spoke to him in a dream. God spoke to him, and he heard the voices of the people that he left. Some of them he probably became close to. And they were saying, come back to us. And he could have, I mean, think about it. I'm not going to go back to those people. I'm not going to go back to those ones that hurt me, that stole me, stole my life, stole my childhood, stole everything about me. They destroyed who I am. And I'm not going back. I've got a good life here. I've got it good. But it's something when God is the one calling you. When you put your life in His hands, your life doesn't belong to you anymore. Your life belongs to Him. We read that, remember, months back, where Jesus was saying, as the good shepherd, he goes, if you're in my hand, no one can take you out of my hand. In other words, I'll protect you. I'll be there for you. But when we give our life to God, no one could hurt us. No one could do anything. You might say, well, bad things happen. They do. We will always go through bad things here on this earth. I myself have been robbed in my apartment when I was in college. I got robbed twice in 1 week. That's probably why I'm thinking I'm going to go do my share of watching the parking lot, because they might come back. Yeah, so there is always that little, that uneasiness of feeling like the enemy is just ready to come back again. When I gave my life to God, when you gave your life to God, it doesn't belong to you no more. Now, you could fight it and say, no, I want to do my thing. I want to go my way. I want to have this, and I want to have this, and I want to have this. And God says, but that's not the plan I have for you. And in his case, the greatest point about St. Patrick was that he said, okay, I'm going back. It wasn't easy. When he decided voluntarily to go back to the place where he was a slave, he now comes back as an adult man. He now comes and he has to deal with an entire, you talk about a state religion, you're talking about a country's religion. They were Druids. They were into black magic. They were into witchcraft. And he comes in the name of the Lord, and the next thing you know, man, people start turning from their wicked ways and start giving their life to God because someone was willing to come over and share with them. So all these symbols and things that they were accustomed to in the Druid religion, he would take some of those, and he took the three-leaf clover. Now, if you study and you understand it, there was a three-leaf clover. Everybody would say, well, it's the four-leaf clover that gives you luck. Now, again, we don't, as Christians, believe in luck. Do you understand that luck is a god? Okay, when we say, have good luck. In reference, luck is a god that you're referring to, that luck be with you. I don't want luck to be with me. I don't want good luck. I don't want bad luck. I don't want luck. Okay? I gave my life to God now. Well, the Druids, they believed in luck. They believed in all these other means. So he took the three-leaf clover, and he would then use that and say, well, this represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He took a lot of other symbols that they had and used them and changed it. What we refer to redeemed them. What was meant for the enemy, he redeemed them for God. This was, at one time, they did this for the enemy, but now they're going to do this for God. He redeemed it. And the next thing you know, he is walking around sharing the gospel, fighting and coming against witchcraft, against sorcery, against warlocks, and then all the other things out there that people like to believe in. Okay, of all, okay, what are other super, okay, what do we have, the spiritual terms again? Okay, there's leprechauns, there's elves. There's all these different things. Do you know the people who wrote Lord of the Rings? What's their names? Tolkien. These guys are writing because he's trying to relate to people that are in that world. Tolkien was trying to reach a world that believed in all of these different creatures. So what did he do with all those characters? He redeemed them. and made them seem similar following the Bible story. He did the same thing, as well as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis did the same thing. He took all these different characters, and they're mythical characters, and he changed it so he could reach. Well, this is who St. Patrick was. You could probably put him in the same thing. He was one that took all this mystical stuff, all this stuff, and he says, look, this is who God is. And he battled it. He could have had his life. Matter of fact, he could have just went on a mission trip for a weekend or a week, or I'm going to give my 2 years, I'm going to give my 1 year, then I'm coming back home. But I just read that to you. His 30 years there, it says it wasn't easy. 30 years doing this work. What was the outcome of that? 130,000 people. Planted 300 churches. This guy was pretty amazing. Yeah, we'll call our message Going Green. Okay? Man, if I'm going to go green in any way, I want to think of him. I want to look to him as an example, right? I look to God, yes, but I'm going to look, man, if there was any person that says he went and he went back to the place that tortured him and says, I'm going to come. To the very people that hurt him, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do what I can to help you. Even though I may not get the comfort I'm looking for, but I realize there's another place waiting for me. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This is not my home. My home is up there. I can do all that I can to try to get me all comfortable here. But if that's to the extreme, and without God, this is the most heaven I'll ever experience in my life. But with God, this is the most hell I'll ever experience in my life. Because there's a better place waiting for me. It's like when you fall in love with God and you give your life to God, you find out that this is not my home. All these material things that we have that we fight for, the enemy is going to use those against us. But we would realize, okay, God, that hurts me so bad, but Lord, help me. When I got robbed those two times in my apartment in Bible college, there was only one thing. There was only one thing that I hurt that was gone. The only thing I had of my grandfather. He had a pocket watch, you know, the old chain with the little pocket, and he pop it and it pops open. He was the only man in my life that I cared about. The only thing that I had of his. When that got robbed and taken from me, I was in Bible college. At the time, I don't know if I ever shared with you guys, but for 4 years, I was a fireman while I was in Bible college. And I lived in the firehouse. And I took care of all the apparatus, and I had my truck. Well, they broke into the firehouse, and they took my stuff. The first time, they took a few things. The second time, they cleaned me out completely. I didn't care. Take my Bible books, you know, take my whatever, take my little knickknacks and things here and there. But they took my watch. Oh, that hurt so, so bad. I had to really lay that before God because I was ready to get my gun. And I didn't even have a gun, you know. I was like, oh, they hurt me bad. But it was like, I found out years later who robbed me. I wanted this so badly. But man, I had to forgive him. And I wasn't going to say what, because my mind was not pure at that moment. I wanted to so badly get back at them for the harm and the pain that they gave me. But God said, forgive them. Forgive them. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago? Philip, before he was getting stoned, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Stephen. Stephen, before he was going to get stoned, he said, Father, forgive them. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I have to believe when bad things like this happen, when things happen bad in our lives, God, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What is our response is to do what we can to stay focused on Him. What would He do? Right? We always ask that. What would He do? He would forgive them. What does St. Patrick do? He forgave him. Powerful man. So, hey, stand with me. Can we welcome our worship team back? And we'll close with one last song. But I really want us to just take into that, believing that God has greater things for us. Remember we talked last week about taking us from glory to glory. He's got some great things in store for us. But there will be some valleys that we'll have to deal with. There will be some collectors and some bills and some health issues. And there will be some financial situations and some jobs and loss of jobs. There'll be some relationships and broken relationships. There'll be so many different things that we'll deal with in our life so much. But we got to know that there is a better place that I'm going to. There is a better place that's going to be there for me. Why did St. Patrick do that? Because he believed that there's a better place for these people, that they don't have to continually live the way they did. I prayed that somehow God would reach my grandmother. Now, I'm going to share this with you guys. I found out that my real dad, when he died, or before he died, remember I told you he was the one that was ran over by a train and as a drunk, homeless man on the street. I was told that the caretaker for him in the halfway home, when he found out I came to look for him, I was told that the lady who was at his deathbed was a Christian and led him to the Lord. After all the crud he did in our life and did to us, and I went and found him, and because I found him, he tried to sober up, but he died a week after. But that someone had led him to the Lord. Then I found out that my stepfather, the one killed in prison for all the stuff that he did, that my stepfather also at one time had gone to a Billy Graham crusade and walked up and gave his life to God. Now, he didn't live like it afterwards, but he did pray that prayer. That seed was planted, and maybe, just maybe, before he was killed in his scenario, that he called out to God. I don't know. But if those seeds weren't planted, if Billy Graham never would have decided to be there, my dad probably wouldn't have heard. If that nurse wouldn't have been there for my dad, I don't know if there was somebody there for my grandmother. But all I know is that I got to do my part. Even for those that hurt me, I got to do my part. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for just an example of a powerful man, this individual who lived so many years ago. What an example that he was one that was willing to go back to the place that tortured him, kidnapped him, hurt him. And because of you in his life, he was able to see that place turned. And to this day, Lord, that we have so many beautiful people through the Irish culture, Lord, that love you with all their heart. God, we know there's struggle in Ireland so many times in so many ways because of false religion, because of the Protestants and the Catholics, the battles that they have there. But nonetheless, God, there are people that love you. And we thank you again for this individual who decided what would have happened, God, if he would have said no, that he would have desired to just do his own thing and wanted his own comfort. But he stayed focused. He stayed focused on you. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to stay focused as well. I know things will come our way, God, that we don't plan for, we didn't hope for, we didn't wish for, we didn't think about, we didn't do. But, Lord, things are going to happen. And so, God, we just lay all this before you. All the interruptions of our life, we lay before you. And just how you were to go raise that girl that had died on your way, Lord, there was that lady with the issue of blood that pressed through. She wasn't on your calendar for that day, but she pressed through and she touched the hem of your garment. Lord, you just didn't ignore her, but you stopped, you ministered to her, and then you went on. And so, God, we know interruptions will come in our life. Things will happen that we will stop, give it to you. As hard as it is, that may be painful, we give it to you. And we pray, God, that you would help us to stay focused, to keep on going. We love you, God, for what you're doing. God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this fellowship. I thank you, God, for the beautiful families and see all these children, God, as they're learning about you. So, God, as we close this service, we want to just close, Lord, by worshiping your name with this song. And we ask you, God, to lead us, God, every day. That as we wake up, we dedicate first to you in every way. Thank you for what you're doing, God. In Jesus' name, amen.